Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd bless, Lord, now your word to our hearts. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, listen, grab your Bibles if you would, and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we are in verses 1 to 8, and we'll be in verses 1 to 8 for the next 2 weeks. You see, Jack, it's only verses 1 to 8. I know, but it's too powerful of stuff. We need this too much. We're looking at a message entitled, "Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It." Don't just stand there, pray about it. Now listen, I need all of your attention today. This is serious stuff. When you and I think about prayer, what is the first thought that comes in your mind? Chances are, most Christians have admitted that when they think about prayer, that it's often a discouraging topic to them. Number one, they believe that they don't pray enough. Well, number one, every one of us in this room, we do not feel or believe that we pray enough. Number two, we often don't pray because we're afraid our prayers will not be heard. And that, friend, comes from a lack of faith. Today's message and next week's message will give us boldness and strength regarding these two concerns. Will God listen to me? And how can I pray more? I think you're going to be encouraged this morning that you might find out that you pray a lot more than you think you do. And maybe we've all misunderstood this whole concept of prayer to begin with. If forever now you begin to read your Bible or think that if you could take the word prayer, just insert there talk or talking. God wants you and I to talk to Him and He wants to talk to us. That whole dynamic of dialogue is called prayer. When we pray, a lot of people think, well, if I pray, I don't think my situation is that bad because people are saying pray about it like it's really terrible. You guys, that's the wrong way to look at prayer. We should be people as Christians. By the way, how many of you are Christians today? You see, Jack, somebody told me the other day, Jack, don't ask us that anymore. Because I know people who are not even Christians who come to this church who raise their hand when you ask that question. And I just saw thousands of hands go up. But that's God's business to determine or to decipher between you and all that kind of stuff where you're at with Him. But right now in the sanctuary, everyone raises their hands for whatever reasons to say that you're a Christian. Well, listen, one of the things that Christians do is Christians pray. But we need to understand what that means and what it's all about and how prayer is literally a great privilege that you and I do not take so much advantage of, and we ought to. It should be as natural to the believer as breathing. But why isn't it? Pastor, do we have to go to a prayer meeting to pray? No. We should go to prayer meetings, but not limit our prayer time to a prayer meeting. What does it mean to pray, and what are the dynamics of prayer? I personally own many, many books on prayer. And I have to confess this. By far, most of the books I've read on prayer have discouraged me greatly. These guys who write these books on prayer, they live in a whole other realm. I don't even know, what they know. By the time I read what they've read, I feel like giving up before I even get started. These guys are like super Christians. I think of people like Martin Luther who would pray 4 hours a day before he would get going for the day. I don't pray 4 hours a day like Martin Luther prayed. I think of Andrew Murray, great, great author on books on prayer. I love Andrew Murray's writings. You should buy everything Andrew Murray has ever written on prayer. But when I read about what he said we ought to be doing, I begin to look at it through a certain set of eyes and I begin to get so discouraged, I get so depressed, that I don't even think God's going to listen to a prayer of an absolute scumball like me. These are great men of God, great people of God. The problem is I've read into their writings things that were not really there. I have misunderstood prayer. And for this, many Christians don't pray. And that's a crime. Yep, it's entitled, "Just Don't Stand There, Pray About It," because that's what we need to start doing. And I want to encourage you. What a great thing we come to chapter 18 on the first Sunday of this new year. And it is my prayer. And by the way, I think it's going to be answered. The way this world's going, my friend, the way it's going to be going, we will really be people of prayer. We're going to pray a lot with all that's coming. This is a crazy time. Aren't you glad you have the Lord at times like this? Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, I'm glad. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them. Jesus speaks a parable. And here it is, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And this is how he's going to explain the urgency of that. Verse 2, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubles me, this widow, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is part one of a part two message. We'll cover verses 1-6 this morning. But if you're a note taker, and I pray that all of you are, I'm asking you to write this down, that this is a parable of contrast. It's very important you understand that. I'm going to save you a lot of grief. Because there are some great Bible scholars who say that this is a picture none other than the widow being a picture of the Christian. And they'll say that the judge is a picture of God the Father. I want you to know something. I completely disagree with that. I believe Jesus is teaching this parable, this parabolic teaching, by using a contrast. You and I are not poor and alone like the widow he's speaking about. You and I, as we'll see in Scripture in a moment, you and I are children of the kingdom of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've got the Word of God. We're never alone, and we're not powerless. And then what about the judge? Can you equate this judge who doesn't care about man or care about God as being the Lord? I don't think so. Jesus' entire argument is basically this. If this wicked judge listened to this woman who's whining and complaining and groaning on to answer her just to get her out of the way, he says, listen to what the judge had to say. Now Jesus counters by saying, listen, the Father is not like the judge, and the widow is not like the believer. If in an evil context an answer comes, how much more will an answer come to those who belong to the kingdom of God? In chapter 17, that was his entire argument about us belonging to the kingdom, being ready for his return and walking with him. And now Jesus continues on in chapter 18 about the power of the believer when it comes to prayer and how we need to be people of prayer. So mark it down. Point number one is found right here in verses 1-3. And that is, just don't stand there, pray about it. Because listen, Christian, your God is waiting to hear from you. You need to write that down and be encouraged by that. God is waiting to hear. The Lord is waiting to hear from you and I. He wants us to pray. How many of you are parents? Remember when your kids were little, you poured yourself into them, beginning like this. Say, Dada. Say, Dada. Remember that stuff? Say, Mommy. Mommy, mommy. And you would listen so intently. You could have been working in the yard, doing the dishes, cleaning the house. And you hear Junior or Little Miss America say, Mama. And what happened when you heard that the first time? You stop. You call people. You get the video camera out. Say it again. Mama. Why? Because as a parent, you're longing and waiting to hear from them, aren't you? You're pouring your existence into them that they might begin to show signs of life. Intelligent life. They begin to talk back. It's amazing. For a while. Then you want them to shut up. But no, I'm kidding. But you're speaking to them with hopes of them speaking back to you. The Father's the same way. He pours this word into us, waiting to hear back from us. And when we begin to cry out to Him, it's the song of heaven. I believe that when you and I pray, it trumps every angelic orchestration of music whatsoever. God is waiting to hear from you. And so when the Bible says in verses 1-3, it says right here, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or not to faint. That is the fact. Jesus is saying, don't stop praying. And don't give up on praying. Stay at it. And then he says, basically, I'm going to explain it to you as to why you ought to keep praying and why you shouldn't lose hope. And he begins to explain or lay out to us this parable. The first thing that we realize in verse 1 is about priority. You and I need to be talking to our God and making it our priority. And I'm going to ask you to make this a life-changing experience for 2009. Make it your priority. He says men ought always to pray. I want to encourage you to look at it this way, to make prayer a priority. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me. I want to suggest that that first begins in an act of prayer. All you who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do we not all have burdens? And our burdens are going to increase. What are we going to do? Are you going to worry about it? That's not going to help. We need to pray about it. And understand that the very nature of God is that our relationship, our dialogue with Him in prayer should be a priority in our lives. Church, we so often divorce ourselves from the very act because we make it out to be a legalistic, big, hard, difficult thing to do. Don't get me wrong. There are times when you persevere and labor in prayer. Maybe when someone is injured or sick, or maybe you have a wounded child in some way, or maybe your marriage is in a bad spot. And there's times when you fast and you pray and you cry out to God in fervent prayer. That's excellent, and there's times for that. But I want to suggest to you who are Christians today, I think we pray a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. But I want you to keep this in mind. Make it a priority to start talking to God more than ever before. You say, Jack, how do I do that? That's an important question. It is taken upon your existence as a believer, and you're going to have to willfully do this, that I'm going to talk to God more. I'm going to seek God more. How do you make Him that priority in your life? Jot it down. We need to exercise the presence of God in our lives. That is, we need to live in a way that the reality of God is ever present before us. The Bible calls this being in His presence. The Bible calls it walking with God. But I want to put this picture in your mind. Imagine you walking up to a door and it is labeled the presence of God. You are to open that door and walk into that room. And in that room is not only the Lord, but everything you need for life. You need to grab that doorknob and you need to open it up and you need to get yourself in that room. And here's the cool thing. Shut the door. And take that room with you everywhere you go. Have you ever seen The Boy in the Bubble? A friend of mine pastors a church in Texas, and he was the boy in the bubble. He lived in a bubble for years. God healed him, and he now pastors a great church in Texas. Everywhere he went, he had to take his life support system with him. I'm encouraging you that when you and I decide, I am going to live and walk and exist in the reality of God's presence, I'm going to be a person. Listen, I know you don't feel like this, but too bad. You're going to choose to be this. I'm going to be a person of prayer this year. I'm going to walk with God. Be in that bubble like a little hamster in a wheel. I'm going to go. And wherever that hamster goes, he's in that bubble. Wherever that Christian goes, you're in the bubble of God's presence. Think of it that way if you must. There's an Old Testament guy that thought of it like that. His name was Enoch. In Genesis 5:24, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So what does that mean? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken from this world so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as to one who pleased God. What did Enoch do to please God? The Bible says right there in Genesis 5 that he walked with God. So, what are you going to do today after service? The answer is you're going to walk with God. Well, where am I going to walk with God? Wherever you go. Drive, walk, sleep, sit, go, stand still with God. Isn't He everywhere anyway? Yes. But even though He's everywhere anyway, you need to practice the presence of God. Did you know that when you go to lunch today or go home to mow your lawn today or do whatever you do today, that God is with you? So start talking to Him. You mean pray? Well, if you want to use the word prayer, go ahead and use the word prayer. I'll use the word talk. Because when you talk and walk with God, that's true prayer. Well, what should I pray about? I don't know. What's bothering you? So many times people will say, Pastor, I need prayer for this. What's going on? And they lay out this story, and then I'll ask them, have you filled out a prayer request regarding this? No. Have you prayed yourself regarding this issue? No. Well, then you know what? Come back when you're serious. You don't need to talk to me. I'm serious about what I'm saying. People will cry and moan and weep over the situation, and then you ask them, have you prayed about it? No. Well, you know what that means? It means it's not bad enough yet. Your situation hasn't gotten bad enough yet. I'm being sarcastic right now. We should be praying all the time. Why? Because when a catastrophe comes, we can have great peace knowing, hey, I've been praying. This catastrophe has come to me. Oh, Lord God, speak to me. Show me what you want me to do. Make it a priority. And God, who is always listening, will answer us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You say, now, come on. How can I be on my knees all day long? I got to go to work. I got to do my thing. That's not what the Bible didn't say, stay on your knees all day. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That verse alone declares that we need to be in the attitude of prayer. Attitude of prayer. That's constant. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? As a believer, when you wake up in the morning before your feet hit the ground, aren't you already conscious of God before your feet hit the ground? When you wake up and you're kind of in that weird zone, it's like, am I waking up or am I dreaming or is this, what day of the week is this? I know it's going to be a tough day when it's Sunday and I wake up and what day of the week is this? Man, within, I'm going to say milliseconds, nanoseconds of time, doesn't your heart go to the fact, oh God, thank you, Lord, thank you. This morning I got up as I usually do. Lord, thank you for keeping us through the night. And then I always say before, because I'm so pathetic, I need God's help constantly. Before my feet hit the ground, I have a little routine. And that is, Lord, fill me with your spirit that I would walk with you today in Jesus' name. And then my feet roll off the bed, and then my feet touch the ground. I make it a big point to do that. Covered. Thanks, God. But that's important. Pray without ceasing is walking about, living, constantly talking to God. God, what about this? I don't know if you saw the sunrise this morning, but you saw that peachy, sherbet-looking sky, and you say, Lord, thank you. Yesterday, we went to go see the Rose Bowl, the floats. You know the things? I've never seen them up close before. It's pretty amazing. And I'm sure people went there. I don't know why people go there to look at the engineering of it all. It's pretty amazing stuff. But I got to tell you, I was saying this. God, you're awesome. You see that flower? I've never seen that flower before. That is an amazing. God, you're awesome. Look at that flower. Isn't God awesome? Just amazing stuff. What is that? That can't be real. That's a flower. That's awesome. God is amazing. Wherever you go, whatever you do, look for God in things. Ask him, speak, Lord. Lord, how do you want me to respond? Remember, hey, we just came out of Christmas. Were you not praying, oh God, give me a parking spot in the name of Jesus? Did you not pray that prayer? You were immersed in a situation that required you to be thinking prayer. God would say to us today, every moment you move and breathe, Jack, is a situation that requires prayer. Be in the attitude of prayer. You can pray while you're driving down the street. You can pray while you're talking to people. Did you know that? Sometimes I'm praying while I'm delivering a message. Literally, God's doing his thing. My mouth's flapping and I'm saying, Lord, help me out here. Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me the next line that you want me to say. It's pretty wild. Pretty awesome. But make it a priority. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Listen, let your requests be made known unto God. That verse goes on to say, in the peace of God. Don't you want peace? Are you troubled? Are you anxious? Here's the verse. Take your pill. It's Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Listen, the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, you need to take that verse and say, God, this is my priority. I am not going to be anxious for this. I'm losing my job, I'm losing my home, or whatever's going on right now. God, how are we going to make it? Listen, you're to cry out to him. This is real life stuff. God's Bible is big enough for the events coming to this world. You see, the Russian Minister of Finance is declaring that the United States will be completely destroyed financially by the year 2010. And he gave the mathematical model as to why. And he's being reviewed all around the world. He's being asked 3 to 4 times a day to speak to news outlets around the world. You say, Jack, is that true? I don't know. the way our spending as a nation has gone? Absolutely true. But listen, does not God know what's coming? Is that news bigger than your ability to trust in the Word of God? The only way that you're going to be able to survive, and I'm going to be able to survive, is that we pray always and not faint, not give up. And then the Bible says in the Amplified Version of the Bible, Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times. The word is on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, to keep alert and to watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Pray at all times. That's an amazing and awesome thing that is. And then also this, look at the latter end of verse 1. Men ought not to lose heart. That means this, discipline. We need to talk to God who wants to hear from us, and talking to God, we need to make it our discipline. We all know what discipline is. Discipline is an act that you do on a routine basis, or we would say religiously. It's something that's not always fun or easy or whatever, but you discipline yourself to do it. For example, we need to teach our children to be disciplined about perseverance in life. We need to teach ourselves that we need to see this all the way through to the end, don't we? Discipline implies that we'd stay strong at it until we reach the finish. Discipline. A person involved in competition is very familiar with discipline. I'm going to do this. Paul the Apostle said, I'm going to finish the race in which Christ has set me on. To be disciplined. Every one of us as believers need to be disciplined. We will not lose heart if we're disciplined. Prayer brings, listen, we need to be disciplined because prayer brings my emotions under control. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you suffer from the attack of emotions? Every one of us, to some degree, some greater, some less. You say, well, how do you know? Well, how are you prone to be discouraged from time to time? Do you ever have fear or doubts about something? You ever have a tendency to worry? That plays upon our emotions. How do you get your emotions under control? Jesus said it. Listen, pray always and don't faint. Why do we faint? Why do we cave in? Why do we give up? Because emotions have gotten the best of us because we haven't prayed. Are you panicking? You're not praying. Are you prone to worry and fear, doubt? You're not praying. Look, I know this from experience. My mother taught me how to worry. She taught all of us kids how to worry. I tell you, becoming a Christian set me free from that. It's awesome. But maybe you worry. You say, how do I know? You biting your fingernails? Stomach upset? Heart of sleeping? Rest in the Lord. But you have to discipline yourself. Well, how do I do that? You need to pray. Talk to God. He's waiting. Listen, it's certainly this. If we do not pray, we will lose heart. And that's a fact. The Bible says in Psalm 42:5, why are you downcast, O my soul? David's speaking to his soul. I'd like to look at David opening up his T-shirt or his robe and looking down inside of his chest. He goes like this. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. You will be downcast unless you go to the Word of God. So whatever issue is going on in your life, I want you to be encouraged. Pray and talk to God about it. Take a walk. Drive. Whatever it takes. Climb a tree, for that matter. But talk to God. Always pray and never lose heart. And then third, in verses 2-3, we read this. Our God is waiting to hear from us, and we need to make talking to God our strength. This is good stuff. He says there that there was this certain judge who did not fear God nor regard man. That's not a good judge to have. But there was also, verse 3, this widow of that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to take out your highlighter and your pen. You're going to want to see this. Remember, Jesus is teaching a parable. A parable, parabolic. Para, alongside. Bolic, or bolo, teaching, a truth. He's throwing a truth alongside the listener, and this is what it is. It is a parable of contrast, meaning Jesus is teaching us that the judge is not like God and the woman, widow, is not like us. Watch this. When Jesus uses the word, and she, here it is, came to him. This is a great word. It means that she would not give up, but showed up everywhere the judge was. She was not only at the courthouse, she was at his house. In the parable, wherever he went, she was there. Have you ever had anybody like that in your life? I mean, they're like a lost puppy. It's like, golly. Oh, there they are. And what are you doing here? She was everywhere, and wherever she was, wherever he was, she would say to him publicly her case. She's pursuing him. Remember, he doesn't care, and she is on him like white on rice. In the words of Justin Alfred, like white on rice. He can't get away from her. Now listen, God is not like this. I'm going to give you a string of verses. Get ready. Matthew 7:7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Not whine and beg and belabor it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and to him who finds or not finds, it will be found by him, and knocks, it will be opened unto him. Jesus says, come on! Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The Bible says, come on! Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. The Bible says, come! Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a priest who cannot be sympathized with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Does that sound like a God who's trying to ignore you? Not at all. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Bible says, come to God. And that's our strength. What a great thing that is. Our strength is found when we pray. Listen, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. How strong are we? Well, I don't know. How strong is God? In the situation, church, listen. In the situation that you are either in right now or that you're approaching or that you may fear may come upon you, listen to this. Because of doubt, because of unbelief, because we don't read the Bible to assimilate it into our very lives as a discipline, it's not a priority. And so we begin to play with this thing of prayer. Oh, why should I go to a prayer meeting? Or why should I pray about this? My friend, it should be the exact opposite. You say, well, Pastor, this message doesn't apply to me because things are going great in my life. Listen, cheer up. Difficult days are coming for you. And you need to be praying now. You need to be praying. But listen, in prayer is our strength. And that is a great promise. Point number two is this. Don't just stand there, pray about it. Christian, your God is willing to answer you. I love this. I wish I knew this when I was a new Christian. It took 30 years for me to get it. But God is willing to answer you and I. Look at verses 4 through 6. And he would not for a while. That is, the judge wouldn't listen to her. He wouldn't answer her. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Contrast. I love this. The Lord is never avoiding you, Christian. You need to slap yourself right now and hear that. Don't you feel, though? Come on. Don't you feel at times God's avoiding you? Yes, you do. Do you feel like God doesn't answer you sometimes? Oh, yeah, you do. But guess what? That's not what's going on. You say, oh, yeah, you don't know. I've been praying about this thing. I never got an answer. Oh, no, 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 no. You're getting an answer. In fact, I'm going to give you an argument in a moment that he answers you faster than you think. Here's the truth. You and I, because we're viewing prayer and the answer to prayer often wrong, we miss the answer because we don't approve of the answer. The answer comes. It's like getting something in the mail. It's like, what? What's this? Maybe you've been waiting for something and it comes in an envelope that you were expecting to be red, white, and blue. And it comes brown. And you look at it and go, and you throw it away. What's this? It was the answer. But it didn't meet your approval. And you and I are tempted to be the lords of our own life. Dear God, now this is what I want you to do. And you tell God what to do. It's kind of like that little boy. Dr. J. Vernon McGee talks about that little boy who said, Dear God, I want a bicycle for Christmas. And so he goes downstairs and he says, Daddy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. And the dad says, go ask your mom. And so the kid goes to the mom and says, Mommy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. So back and forth for months, Mommy, Daddy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. Now, what does the kid want? He wants a bicycle. What do you want? Insert it into that line, into this story. So finally, the kid's so frustrated, and the parents tell him, look, Junior, it doesn't look very good for you to get a bicycle this year. Things are tough. So the parents said, why don't you pray about it, Johnny? You just pray about it and see what God says. No, put the blame on God there. You just pray about it. So the mom and little boy driving home from school one day, and the mom says, I got to pull over. I got to get something from the store. And you remember back in the old days, they used to have a little statue of Mary holding baby Jesus on the dashboard glued onto the dash of the car, which always cracked me up because they always had Mary facing at you. Why don't you turn her around so you can see where you're going? What do you have her looking at you for? Turn around looking at the highway. And the little boy looked around. He had his little sack lunch and the mom's out of the car and he looks around and he snaps Mary off at the ankles, puts her in the bag and rolls up his brown bag and he says, and he folds his hands and he says, Dear God, if you ever want to see your son again, you'll get me that bicycle. A lot of Christians pray like that. I want it this way. God, who knows best, gives us the answer. We don't identify it and recognize the answer when it comes. He's not avoiding you. He's not avoiding you at all. Listen to this. Here's my argument. I believe God hears us instantly, and sometimes He answers instantly, maybe an hour or two later, I don't know. But I'm convinced now God answers my prayers, and I don't recognize His answer when it comes, because I don't approve of the answer. Here it is, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to this carefully. I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no bread, no meat, no wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Verse 10. Suddenly, the hand of the angel had touched me, which made me to tremble. I went to my knees and on the palms of my hands. Verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the, what is it? First day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me these 21 days. Demonic forces, demonic powers of the prince of Persia fighting with the angel in the atmosphere and delay of bringing the answer to Daniel. When was his prayer heard? The first day. When was the answer given? The first day. The Bible tells us there's demonic realms that are involved. Certainly true. There's also the fact that I often don't recognize. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cries. That's you and I. I know that there's a sense of unworthiness and fear that we have, but it's wrong. I want to say to you with all love, grow up. Get over it. Deal with it. You are worthy through Jesus Christ. All of us are sinners. None of us deserve heaven, but we're going. That's part of the sweetness of it all. Listen, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why He's the righteous one. You say, yeah, but it just said here that His ear and eye is always open to listen and to hear the prayer of the righteous. That's right. God hears me every time I pray. Well, you arrogant pastor, you. No. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, But the Bible says that the Lord has declared me righteous. I believe what's written. Therefore, when I pray, like John 15:7, Jesus says, pray my word, the Bible, and I'll answer you. So how do you get answered prayer? Pray Bible. God loves to hear Bible in our prayer. And when I pray that, me, a rotten little stinking sinner, when I pray Bible, I know He's going to answer. And I expect the answer. We need to do that. And then also this, your God is willing to answer you. Verses 4 and 5, the Lord is never tired of you. He's never tired. The Bible says here, but afterward he said within himself, I don't fear God, I don't like people. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. You got to mark this word weary. Hupotadzo. In Greek. So what does that mean? It means this. It means to strike the eye repeatedly. It's a term taken from the Greek Olympics for a boxer. When a boxer hits the eye, boom! Hey, he thinks, his eye's getting red. What does a boxer do when he sees the other his opponent's eye getting red? He hits it again! On the eyeball. In fact, he forgets the other parts. If I can open up that eye, he's going to bleed. That's the word that this woman, the judge says, that's it. She is boxing my eye to the point of bleeding. She's not hitting him. It's worse. She's everywhere he goes. I want justice. I want justice. I want you to avenge me of my enemy. And the judge says, I've had it. That's it. She's giving me a black eye. She's driving me crazy. I'm going to answer her. You guys, God's not like that. You and I suffer so much unnecessarily because we don't ask God to get involved in the things of our lives. Don't raise your hand. How many of you are single? Do you want a husband? Do you want a wife?
Yep, yep.
Well, what are you doing about it? Oh, man, I'm dressing nice, using the right cologne. I mean, take care of yourself. You know, that's fine. Do all that stuff. No one wants you around here stinking and looking ugly. That's fine. But that's not how you do it. Why don't you pray and God will bring her or God will bring him? You say, oh, yeah, well, I was just supposed to pray, and she's going to, like, drop onto my porch. No, you pray, and you get up, and you live your life for the glory of God, and guess what? You're going to bump into him. You're going to bump into her. So many people struggle unnecessarily because they're not asking him. It's not good. He wants to answer us. And you don't have to punch his eye out regarding that. And we whine. We begin to whine. We begin to whine to God. Biblically, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:7 that Paul the Apostle had a sickness. And he asked God 3 times to take it away. 3 times. God didn't take it away. Then it says that God spoke to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now look, we will ask God something. Listen, God, do this. God, do this. What about right now? I need a healing, God. I need a healing. Heal me. Pray in faith. Pray believing. If it's God's will, it's going to happen. Ah, that's the part, Jack, I don't like to hear. If it's God's will. Yeah, well, too bad. That's just the way it is. God knows better than you. He knows what's best for you and I. But here's the cool thing. What if he doesn't heal me? Then guess what? You can get up and thank God for that cancer or for that hangnail or for that bloody nose. You see, are you kidding me? No, because number one, he loves you in a way that you and I are trying to grasp the understanding of it. It's so big. Yeah, but cancer's the worst. It is the worst without God. But we have God. And he's answering something. For example, I got to tell you. I've always prayed, Lord, use me. God, use me. I prayed when I was a brand new Christian, 1977. God, I'd love to tell people about you. I stuttered so bad, I could never speak publicly, barely to my wife. It was horrible and embarrassing. 77, I got saved. 79, I got married. 80, 81, 82. Late 80, around 1983, I got healed. I was healed. Down in Newport Beach, in an instant, healed. But I had prayed all along the way, oh God, I'd love to tell people about you. I'd love, Lord God, to proclaim your word. I didn't have any aspiration to be a pastor. or a missionary. No. I just wanted to tell people. God touched. I'm completely blown away. But I got to tell you, every time I'm going to speak for the Lord, I'm gripped with... You're not supposed to know this. This is top secret information. I am gripped with fear before I come up and open up my mouth in front of people regarding the things of God. If I was selling Amway, no problem. But because it has to do with God, I tremble on the inside because I get this fear that he's going to somehow allow that to be taken away. That's not from God. That's from the enemy playing in my head. Another thing is I have a disease. In 1990, I came down with a disease. It hit me instantly, and I'm not going to get into the graphic details of it, except that you've never known that because it's never happened in front of you. And it's a very, very embarrassing thing. I have to be near a bathroom. That's all I have to say. And it's never happened in front of you when the Word of God's going out. But guess what I'm thinking right before I go teach? I'm going to lose it. And it's never happened. So what are you saying, Jack? You're driving me nuts here. No, it's the weakness that now I thank my God for it. Because you know what? At any moment, the Lord could say, Jack, you're out of here. This is His church. I didn't die for you. You come here to hear the Word of God. I don't play with you. Yeah, but we don't like you, Pastor. It doesn't matter if you don't like me or not. He loves me. I'm working for Him. I love you, but I'm working for Him. He's the one that's touched me, and He's the one who could say, Jack, move right, move left, sit down, stand up. And in that, in my weakness, I'm strong. Because if He gives me the moment, if I arrive to this pulpit, I have full confidence that He's going to work in my life. Why? Because He got me here. Everything that comes to your life, my friend, is Father filtered by God. What's going on? Know this, if you're a Christian, it's been filtered by the Father. Did you know Satan couldn't touch Job without getting permission from God? How much more for you? He'll never reject you, verse 6 teaches us. The Lord will never reject you and I. He's not rejecting us. Jesus says, hear what the unjust judge said. What's that mean? If the judge who's wicked gave in, how much more when you're... will your loving Father give to you? I'm going to leave you with this. In John chapter 17, it's the entire chapter. It's technically what is really the Lord's Prayer. You may think the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew. It's not found in Matthew. That's our prayer. When Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this, that's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is right here in John chapter 17. You see, why do you point that out? You can read that prayer later. It's lengthy. It's beautiful. Notice the massive collection of red letters. It's Jesus' longest statement. And it's a prayer. And guess what it's a prayer about? It's about you. He's praying in that prayer, Father, thank you. And Lord, I'm coming to see you, Father. And I've given them my word. And I've given them your word. And he prays, make them one as you and I are one. And Jesus gives this incredible prayer that's for you. And here's the beauty of it. If today you will simply say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm praying. For example, Lord, this wonderful prayer of John 17, I want to know, Lord, the absolute unity and closeness that you have purposed for my life. Jesus, when you prayed to your Father and you said, make them one as you and your Father are one, I want to know that oneness. In church, listen, will you trust the Lord enough to let Him answer that His way? Will you not manipulate your prayers with Him anymore? Instead of boxing the eye and complaining and whining, can you say maybe 3 times, Lord, I'm asking you to do this? And if not, let me accept the grace that comes into my life to live with it. And He'll do that. Today, are you not sure if you're a Christian? Did you know that you being here? I mean, I know that there's been human circumstances that's got you here, but did you know that God was using human circumstances to get you here? It's really, He's been behind the scenes the whole time. Did you know that He wants you? He's calling you into His kingdom. The decision's yours to come in or not, but He wants you. Hey, did anybody see last night on the news, one of the Hamas generals, his son, who was heir to the throne of that place in that position in Hamas terrorist organization? Did you see what happened to his son? His son got arrested by the Israeli army and put into a prison in Megiddo, in Armageddon, Megiddo. While he was in prison, he watched Hamas torture other Hamas members, some of them to death. And he said, well, that's not right. And he began to hear things done in the name of Allah. And he said, well, that's weird. When he was released, he was walking down the old city of Jerusalem, and there was an Arab man who was simply saying, anybody want to read the Bible? Come to my apartment tonight. Anybody want to read the Bible? Come to my apartment tonight. And this guy took him up on the offer, and he went to his apartment to read the Bible. He had never read the Bible before. He began to read the Bible. All they did is sat around and read the Bible. The Hamas kid, heir to the throne of Hamas, this is on the news last night, winds up reading the Bible. Then he goes into the wilderness with his Quran and his Bible, and he read them both, books open side by side, and he was out there for many, many days, and he concluded, this book is nuts. He said, it's nuts, and it's for sick people, the Quran, and the Bible is a book of love. It's told me to love my enemies. And he said, I decided this is the book for me. Now he lives in San Diego, goes to a Bible teaching church. The FBI and CIA is going to start using him because he knows all this stuff about Hamas. And all he wants to do, he says, I tell people about Jesus everywhere I go. This is the absolute, listen, what happened? The same thing that friends that I know who have come out of Islam to Christ, Waleed Shubat, one of them, said, all I know, and I've heard this numerous testimonies, all I know, when I prayed to Allah, there was nothing happened, and I felt no response. And the moment, I've heard this time and time again, the moment I prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I felt Him listening to me, and I became a Christian. You and I don't understand that. We're used to it. Oh, my friend, today maybe you're not a Christian. I'm going to give you this challenge. Will you pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The God of this Bible. Will you say, Lord, is this for real? Speak to me. I challenge you. I'm just wondering, do you have the tummy for it? Can you handle it? Don't be surprised if He wraps you up, squeezes you, and gives you a big kiss and says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore it's with loving kindness I draw you. You need Christ today. And Christians, for all of us, we need to pray in an attitude of prayer like never before. Father, we thank You. It's awesome to realize, Lord, that You're always listening to us. There's times that we wish You weren't, but You do. And those are great moments of that, even for forgiveness. You're faithful. But while, Father, we're praying, and I pray right now, Lord God, that You would speak to those that don't know You. And Lord, their heart is turbulent right now. There's a lot of anxiety in them right now. They know they need to do this, but there's the fear of people around them. But Lord, I pray that You'd speak to them, and that right now, wherever they're at in this gathering, that they would say, yes, Jesus, yes to You. Yes for dying on the cross for my sins. Yes, Lord, to You for being risen from the dead. Yes, be my God and Savior. Make me one of Your little sheep, Lord. I want to know You in this life and forevermore. And for all of us who are Christians today, let's make this covenant with the Lord that we will practice the presence of God as we walk, live, move in His reality. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, let's all stand as we close in this song. If you do need prayer.